Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Good afternoon and welcome everyone to Kosher Cravings. I am your host this week, Adrian Bugatti, and I'm glad you joined me. It's warmish outside for winter, so that's always good. I'm not a winter person. So today's show is all about making healthy eating feel achievable, enjoyable, and sustainable. We explore the science behind nutrition, celebrate delicious food from Africa, and hopefully inspire you to build a healthier relationship with what you eat. So we're going to call today's episode Healthy Eating for Healthy Living, Abundance, Not Abstinence. And one of the reasons I chose that is I'm supposed to, besides lose weight, other health issues, got to go on to special eating plans and stuff, and I am terrible with that. I'm a big meal planner, so just so you know, it's not that. That's not the issue. It's the mindset of being told you can't. And that is a very difficult thing for me to get through. So that's why I went in and looked into researching and just changing our mindset in with what we eat. And, you know, we need to understand that when we're sort of being told to change the way we eat, we're all at this, you can't have, you can't have, you can't have. So you don't eat carbs, you've got to avoid sugar, never touch processed food, only eat this, never eat that. It can feel absolutely exhausting. I remember hearing stories of the saccharine causing cancer and aspartame and all of those things. And then I started following, I can't remember his name, Liam. He's a TikToker, he's a nutritionist. And he one day put up a big pyramid of Diet Cola, a huge. And he said, you would have to drink those 30 cans every single day for the next 30 years for it to actually have any detrimental effect on your health. He says, they're not great, but they're better than nothing. And if you're like me, not a drinker, I don't like water, I hate the taste of water, in fact, then you've got to find a way to sort it out. You've got to get your fluids in because fluids are very important to your body. And thankfully, the dietitian I go to sort of said, well, if you need the fluids, go get a cordial and add a little bit of flavor in. That's all. And if you have to drink the flavored sparkling water, then drink the flavored sparkling water. At least you're getting it. And, you know, the thing with drinking sparkling water, especially flavored ones, is there are calories. And if you're counting calories, it becomes a problem. I refuse to count calories. Otherwise, I would absolutely go mad and drive myself and my family insane looking at all of this. But healthy eating isn't about constantly saying no. It's about discovering all the wonderful foods that you can say yes to. So think about abundance. And in Jewish life, food is an abundance, especially Shabbos. It's like a huge thing. We have it at home on Friday night. Then we have again a brocha at shul. And then we have another one when we get home from shul for lunch. And then we go again, Shalosh Shuras and Malava Malkas. So for us, food in abundance is a huge thing.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
This is Kosher Cravings and I'm Adrian Bugatti. So we're talking about abundance in the way we eat and in our healthy eating plans. And one of the things we need to understand is to increase the abundance, to say yes, we need to look at color, variety, nourishment, flavor, and joy on your plate. And it's one of the things that the French are very good at. Maybe not as much as they are used to be because obviously Western influence, American influence, should I say, is playing a very big part in their lives. But it used to be that when you sat down to a meal, that is what you were focused on. It wasn't, even if you were on your own, it wasn't about reading a book while you're eating. It wasn't about watching TV while you're eating. It was about enjoying the flavors of the food on the plate that you have made. And it didn't matter if you were by yourself. And that's where another thing, like the glass of wine, sit down, focus on your meal, eat slowly and enjoy each taste. Enjoy your sip of wine or your sip of water or your sip of soda, whatever you're having with it. And just enjoy the flavor. Enjoy the food. Food is meant to give us strength to concentrate on our day and to focus. And eating correctly is going to increase that amazingly by adding those colors. And they say your plate should have at least 3 to 4 colors on it to make it sort of interesting. And textures, which I know Sharon Lurie is huge on textures in her food, and they do. Having that crunch unexpectedly in your middle of your ice cream or something like that. For a lot of people, that is just, it's a nice surprise. And then you've got others who prefer the smooth and not the textures. And you've got people who won't mix hot and cold together. All of those things are just habits that we have. But it doesn't stop us from eating healthy. Because your salad can be on the side and your hot meal on the main plate. It's not a problem. And you eat one at a time. You don't have to eat them all together. So those are important things to understand when we look at flavors and textures and joy on the plate. And then I'm sharing a bit of a short journey. I decided to add to mostly my show. I'm hoping Sharon will do the same and so will Dolores. Is food from around the world, making traditional foods kosher. So I decided we're starting in Africa because that's where we live, but we're starting in Algeria, which seems like a bit of an odd choice, but the flavors are very much Mediterranean style. And really, if you're living in Israel or if you're Sephardi, these are flavors you're going to enjoy. If you're French, these will be flavors that you probably know and enjoy as well. So we're going to look at that. Some of the misconceptions that people have around food is coming from TikTok, from the internet. And it's why informed nutrition and science-based nutrition matters so much. There's a YouTube channel that I watch that are, it's a group of chefs and a group of what they call normals. We should all cook as well as these normals, by the way. And what they do is they often do these TikTok recipes to see, first of all, are they reasonable? Are they normal? Which a lot of them, quite frankly, are not. And do they have any purpose in our lives? Are they making our lives better or are they just there to annoy the chefs? Which, let me tell you something. When you get a frozen pasta sandwich, that should annoy everybody because there's nothing in that one. It was frozen pasta in tomato sauce, cut into squares, and then they put mayonnaise and peanut butter on. Okay, that's rage. To me, that's rage baiting because none of that belongs together. But it just shows you that we look on the internet and we see these people, and I've seen it over and over again. One of them particularly was to do with cancer. And I saw three people say exactly the same thing with slightly different sentencing, but it was the exact same thing. I don't eat it because this, I don't eat that because, and it was three different people. It really make your life harder. There is no reason. One of them was microwave popcorn. Now, I don't like microwave popcorn just because I don't like it. I prefer my fresh popcorn. That's me. There is nothing wrong with having a bag of microwave popcorn. It is preferable to do the plain one rather than the buttered, mostly because of the fat content, not because of any chemical that is going to damage you. When you're looking and when you're seeing these influencers talking about their food and stuff like that, look at who they are. Are they science-based or are they just people who want to cook and tell you stuff? You know, have they got a medical degree when they start spouting all this chemical nonsense? These are important things if they've got a food nutrition degree or something like that. They're not just average person. I'm not going to come on and tell you without a lot of research that you can't eat something or that you should be eating something. And that's a big thing. And, you know, whether you're supporting someone with a food allergy or just wanting to improve your nutrition, or you're worried about illness prevention, which is really, now that it's winter in South Africa, probably a good idea to look into using lots of garlic, lots of ginger and turmeric to boost your immunity, you're going to find, I think, I hope today, a little interesting. So before I take you to Algeria, let's talk about healthy eating and what it really means. Now, a lot of things we understand with healthy eating, people have always assumed that healthy eating means it's expensive because fresh produce is so expensive and that kind of thing. It's not really. If you plan it properly, it's not. And one of the things, and anybody who's been listening to this show for however long will know that I'm a meal planner. And one of the things that is important when using fresh ingredients is trying to use them in more than one recipe so that you don't waste and therefore don't cost more. So that's an important part. Like I said, the biggest misconception in nutrition is that healthy eating has to be perfect. The truth is, nobody is perfect. Nobody needs to be perfect. Our bodies don't judge us based on one meal. They respond to our habits over weeks, months, and years. Healthy eating is about consistency, not perfection. Okay, and any dietitian will tell you that. It's, you know, I remember what we used to say, your cheat day on these diets. And I think that is one of the biggest problems, is the wording that we have, because we talk about diets. Diet is like not a great way. Your eating habits is a much better way of saying it. And not talking about cheat days. Cheat days sort of assumes that you're going to, you're hiding something, you're doing it undercover kind of thing. But there shouldn't be a cheat day. There should literally be a day where you can have whatever you want as a treat day, not a cheat day.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
This is Kosher Cravings, and I'm Adrian Bugatti, and I'm talking about healthy nutrition. One of the things that we need to understand as well is that you need to imagine your meals as a collection rather than individual events. So when we look at meals, we look at it's lunch, it's supper, instead of looking at the entire day and spreading it over the day or spreading over the week where we can make improvements on our eating habits and on our daily basis. Just little things will change everything. Adding a fruit to your breakfast time is a huge improvement. We're supposed to eat, I think it's 5 fruit and vegetables per day. And now winter, we've got citrus. So I love the mandarins and, you know, that kind of citrus, the soft peel citrus and things. I actually, believe it or not, also quite like grapefruit. I do cheat. I put a bit of sugar on. Not a lot, but I do need to have that little extra. And then I pour the juice into the glass and have that as an extra, you know, drink. Now, remember, we're talking about parties and abundance. And in Jewish religion, abundance is everywhere. So I want you to remember that one piece of birthday cake won't make you unhealthy. Just as one salad won't suddenly transform your health and help you lose weight. In fact, I was told recently that having a salad counts as one veg. So it doesn't matter that you've got your tomatoes, your cucumbers, your carrots, your lettuce and everything. It's still all one veg. That's it. So, you know, suddenly going mad for salads isn't really going to do it unless you've got 5 different kinds of salads on your plate. So it's important that we understand where all this comes from. It's what you do most of the time that matters, and it's incredibly liberating. So instead of asking, what should I cut out? Ask yourself, what can I add? And that's a thing. Could it be an extra vegetable? So for me, I'm not mad about carrots, but there are ways to make carrots really delicious. So carrot and ginger soup is one of the things for winter to add a vegetable. Can you add some beans? Now, a lot of people don't like beans. I found many, many years ago it made my mince stretch. So I added red kidney beans, mashed them up, and added them into my mince. Nobody even noticed. But it is fiber, it is protein, and it is considered one of the so-called superfoods. So it's a good thing. What about including whole grains and things like, could you drink an extra glass of water? So for me, especially now in winter, I do struggle. But what about a cup of soup? Quite simple. It really is easy. Ina Palmen stock powder, 1 teaspoon, cup of boiling water, and you've got no caffeine, you've got good vegetables, and it's a nice warming drink instead of a cold water. So that's something to look at. Can you include an extra fruit with your breakfast? So I know somebody who has grapefruit, yogurt, and cereal for breakfast, and that tides them over for quite a long time, which is really, you know, a good breakfast to have. And with all of this, your mindset will change. And it's something we have to all work on. We all get told this is terrible. You can't have chocolate. You mustn't eat this. I remember at one stage being told for a diabetic, the diabetic chocolates were a bad idea and you shouldn't have them and everything. But you know what? It's the same as anything. Everything in moderation. Don't go eat the whole slab of diabetic chocolate. One or two pieces. Now, that can be a little difficult if you are not strong willpowered. So, you know, take your piece, put it out, and put the other piece or slab somewhere where it's a little bit more inconvenient to go and fetch, if you know what I mean. So a cupboard that you might have to climb or something. So instead of deprivation, we create abundance. And instead of guilt, we create nourishment. And we think about abundance and what it looks like. A colorful plate filled with vegetables. Fresh herbs adding flavor. Whole grain breads, fresh fruits, nuts and seeds, beans and lentils, healthier oils, quality proteins, and fermented foods. So fermented foods are a big thing. Kimchi, very popular at the moment. It's a trend. Everybody's doing the kimchi thing. And I see on the shelves, sauerkraut is coming back, which is amazing. I grew up on sauerkraut, I think, because I had a German grandmother. Sauerkraut was part of our food. But it does actually make quite a nice thing. And the other day I was watching an old program, an old MasterChef program, and that lady made a sauerkraut ice cream. Okay, I promise it would never have crossed my mind to put something like that together. But hey, anything is possible. So you need to understand that when we are looking at these things, we need to learn how to deal with them. When you have no money, buying fresh fruit and vegetables can feel a little bit expensive, and especially if it's not a fruit or a vegetable that you eat a lot of. So like for me, carrots was a big thing. It's not my favorite fruit or vegetable, should I say. But I did learn to make carrot and apple soup. I learned to make carrot and ginger soup. I learned to make sweet carrots with a bit of date syrup. So those kind of things can be made into things that are edible and pleasant to eat and really healthy. And what's nice about being able to do soups is your vegetables can be slightly past their freshest. So if your carrot is starting to get a little limp, the tomato is starting to get a bit soft, your turnip is not 100% either, it needs a bit of peeling, and your potato just before it turns green, those are things that you peel and put into a pot of soup. If you can avoid peeling, even better, so scrubbing them nicely, because the peel is where a lot of our vitamins are. And by boiling it in the water, that water is full of vitamins and perfect for winter. And then you just add a cheap soup bone, or you go into your butcher and you ask for the chicken carcass. the meat is still, there is still meat on the carcass often. So what I used to do was boil it up in my pot of soup and then peel off the chicken pieces, put them in the soup so that you've got pieces of chicken along with your vegetables. And it just adds flavor. And you don't need stock powder as well if you're using chicken carcasses, depending on how many you do. And one of the things, I know a lot of people don't eat the chicken wings, okay? Simple. Use those in your stock, in your soup. Make your flavor for the chicken wings. My best is to take the chicken, cook it in the soup, take it out, and then I spice it with garlic salt, onion salt, and paprika. Stick it under the grill until the skin is nice and crispy. Yeah, even though we're not supposed to eat the skin. But don't tell anyone. And it's delicious. And crunchy and, you know, texture, flavor, all these things. Healthy eating is not a punishment. Healthy eating is self-care. It's giving our bodies the tools they need to function at their best. And importantly, food is also about culture. It's about family. It's about Shabbos. It's about celebration. Healthy eating should never disconnect us from meaningful experiences. Instead, it should help us enjoy them for years to come. As I said, the internet is filled with weird and wonderful recipes, ranging from professional chefs showing us fancy dishes and ingredients that we will never, ever use. And honestly, when you look at them, think they shouldn't even be on the same plate, but they are, and they come out very nicely. But then there's also a lot of cooking shows and clips showing us things that the average home cook will never attempt, and yet they are easy to do. Living in South Africa and the African continent can give us so many amazing foods that really are healthy without breaking the bank as well. So I thought we'd start, obviously, alphabetical, Africa, Algeria, and that is the first country that came up for me. And as I looked at this recipe as a traditional Algerian recipe, it's one that we can all eat. It's not expensive, it's vegetarian, and it's delicious. So let's try that one. It did take a bit of practice, and I must warn you, it is about an hour in prep from start to finish. So it's not something that you can do in a hurry. You need to, this is conscious eating or conscious cooking, should I say. One of my favorite things about food is the very culture that the story tells. Each culture has its own story behind its food. Yesterday, I was watching something on where they had to use juniper berries. And one of the women was from Russia, and she was saying, like, she can remember. She's never used them, but she can remember her grandmother cooking with juniper berries. So those are the kind of things where food brings us memories, and good friends, food sort of creates new memories and maybe new friends. Who knows? So preserve your tradition and celebrate local ingredients. So let's talk a little bit about the culinary journey around the globe, discovering traditional dishes that can be adapted to kosher, because obviously this is High FM and my kitchen is kosher, so I need it to be kosher. But I still wanted honoring the original country that it came from. So we don't want to do too much change, which is why Africa was such an easy thought, because from the top of Africa to the bottom, we all have ingredients that are called by different names, but are actually the same thing. So today, like I said, Algeria, a North African country, rich with culinary heritage, influenced by the Berbers, the Arabs, Mediterraneans, and French traditions. So when people think of healthy eating, they often imagine expensive superfoods or trendy ingredients. But if we look at traditional cuisines around the world, we'll quickly discover that healthy eating has been around for centuries. Traditional Algerian cooking is built around vegetables, legumes, whole grains, oils, herbs, and spices. Meals are designed to nourish families, stretch ingredients, and create satisfying dishes without relying on highly processed foods. These are countries where the meals originally started with the locals not having money. You know, meat was expensive because that was your currency. So you didn't just go out and slaughter your own cow or your own sheep or your own goat, because you used that to trade. So those are important things we need to remember. So this dish, and I'm going to tell you now that I have probably pronounced it wrong, it's called Mahjouba, M-A-H-J-O-U-B-A. And it's kind of like a flatbread, like a blintz almost. So a Mahjouba is a thin pan-fried flatbread filled with a savory mixture of tomatoes, onions, and peppers. And it's often enjoyed as a street food, now that street food has become a thing, but it's equally at home at the family dinner table. What I loved about this was it is a simple dish. Like I said, it does take a bit of practice to fold your flatbread so that it holds together, and it does take flatbread from scratch. If you're going to buy, if you're going to Khanna's and you buy a wrap or something like that, then not a problem. It's a beautiful flatbread to use. Now, it begins with the filling. Onions, slowly cooked until sweet and soft. Now, onion, you need to understand, when we look at onions, we often just put them in the frying pan and we just fry them until they sort of starting to go brown or golden and glossy. That is on a medium to high heat. This is a slow cook, so it's going to take a longer time. You're going to keep your heat medium to low and slowly cook your onions. Just know, so you know, the recipe will be on the website afterwards. The next thing that comes is the ripe tomatoes. And this is where overripe tomatoes are perfect, because you're putting them up into the onion. So it doesn't have to be fresh. It could be your onions that you haven't, your tomatoes that you haven't used for a while, and they're no longer salad worthy, let's put it this way. And then your colorful peppers. Now, you can use any color pepper. Green is the traditional, but I'm not a green pepper fan. I find them too bitter, so I would use red or yellow. Probably yellow just for the more color. Garlic, and then warming spices, things like paprika, cumin, black pepper. Those are beautiful combinations. I love the smell and the flavor that cumin brings to food. Then we're going to drizzle olive oil over everything to bring it together. Now, the dough itself contains a handful of ingredients. Basically, flour, water, salt, and a bit of oil. Obviously, if you're catering for somebody who needs gluten-free, you can experiment with gluten-free bread. But just remember that you will need the xanthan gum in the gluten-free flour, because normal flour gives it that stretch which you need to use to shape the flatbreads. So when you're using gluten-free flour, the xanthan gum will give you that stretch. Semolina flour, if you can get it, is the best flour for this, but it's, you know, up to you what flour you're going to use. Then the dough needs to be rolled very, very thin, okay? And the filling is then enclosed inside, gently cooked in a hot pan until the dough itself is golden. Now, when we enfold it in the dough, we're looking at a blintzer type fold, so an envelope. And that's where the practice comes in, because it doesn't kind of fold as easily as your blintzer batter. It's a slightly thicker one, and tends to, if you're doing it too quickly, or if it's gotten too cold, or if it hasn't stretched enough, then it's going to break. But otherwise, once you get the technique after your second or third one, it'll fold easily. You've got the technique down, and it's great. Now, this is a dairy-free, vegetarian meal. You can add meat if you want, so you can make it a meat meal. Not a problem. You can add cheese if you want. Also, nice melty cheese inside would be great as well. And you serve your Mahjouba alongside something like a grilled chicken or a fish, or you just eat it with a fresh Israeli salad and a bowl of lentil soup for a meat-free meal. Lentil soup, once again, is also huge, high fiber, great for keeping you full for longer, perfect for diabetics, really a good substitute for meat protein or animal protein if you don't want that. Let's connect this with today's theme of abundance. When we look at traditional dishes like the Mojuwa, we're reminded that healthy eating isn't about removing foods we love. It's about building meals around wholesome, nourishing ingredients. And it's about changing our taste buds. That's all it is. A lot of us are too scared to try new things. We like what we know, and we get used to it. So every now and again, I throw a curveball in at my house and get varying degrees of feedback, and they will tell me whether it's a yay or a nay. So this is why we want you to build food that makes people enjoy it. And one of the things is that everything is included in just one serving. That makes things much easier.
Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Okay, so I was talking about the Mojuwa and how building this theme of abundance. And when you look at it, tomatoes are antioxidants. So if you're worrying about things like the bad air that we're breathing in and all that, tomatoes are great for purifying that in your body. Then onions, packed with absolutely the most amazing plant compounds. So whether you're doing onions, leeks, or any of that kind of family, sort of spring onions, those are really, really good health boosters for you. Your peppers are filled with vitamin C. In fact, your green pepper, has more vitamin C in than your average orange. So think about your vitamin C's. Now, when we talk about oils, we talk about healthier oils, and it's a good idea to avoid blended oils. They can, have, first of all, but they're not as healthy. If you are looking at olive oil and you really can't afford a bottle of really good extra virgin olive oil, then I would say look at there are ranges where you can use the olive oil, which has been blended with a normal deflavored oil. But really, your neutral oils are the best oils to have. Unless you're cooking like me, where I do a lot of stir fry, then I do peanut oil and sesame oil, but not in huge quantities, more in flavoring than in frying. Remember, this Mojuwa is simple ingredients, affordable ingredients, accessible ingredients. Now that is abundance. Healthy eating doesn't require perfection. It doesn't require expensive powders or miracle supplements. It starts with cooking more often, eating more vegetables, sharing meals with people we love, and enjoying food that satisfies both body and soul. And if you'd like to make your Mojuwa even more nutritious, here are a few ideas. Add some finely chopped spinach to the filling for your extra iron and folate. And one of the things about eating spinach with your green peppers is you're going to absorb more vitamin C and more iron because the two work together. You can include grated carrots or courgettes, zucchini, baby marrows, whatever you want to call them. You grate those in. It's also fantastic to add to your colors and to your flavors. Then you serve it with bean salad to increase your protein, or pair it with homemade hummus or baba ganoush, eggplant mayonnaise, whatever you'd like to call it, which is a delicious Mediterranean inspired meal. That would be a nice thing. Food should bring joy. Food should connect us to different cultures, and food should nourish us. Perhaps the greatest lesson we can learn from traditional cuisines around the world is that healthy eating has never been about complicated rules. It's about fresh ingredients, simple cooking, sharing meals, and enjoying every bite. So this week, why not bring a little taste of Algeria to your kitchen? You might discover a new family favorite. And if you do, I'd love to hear how it turns out. One of the things that really stood out to me when I started researching foods from other countries is how important the evidence-based nutrition is, but also how important tradition is. And Algeria is a country with many influences. And when I looked for the recipe for Mojuwa, I realized how easy it is to find the ingredients for this meal and how simple. If you don't want to make flatbread yourself, like I said, buy your wraps. And nutrition certainly plays an important role in your overall health. A balanced diet rich in vegetables, fruit, whole grains, legumes, healthy fats, appropriate proteins supports overall well-being and may reduce the risk of several chronic diseases, including some cancers. But there are no miracle foods. There are superfoods which have a lot to give, to add to your meal, but they are not miracles. They are just really good healthy foods. There's a few things to remember. No single ingredient causes cancer, diabetes, fatty liver syndrome, or any other health issue. No single ingredient cures it either. Health is influenced by genetics, lifestyle, environment, and many other factors. One of those being how easy it is to get fast foods, which contain almost no nutrition. Although somebody did point out to me, one of the fast food places, I think it's Wimpy, actually has the nutrition of each meal printed on their menus. I've never seen it, so I wouldn't be able to tell. But if you're into looking to eat healthier, but you still love your takeout breakfasts, go look. Go see what it's got and what it tells you if you don't keep kosher. Unfortunately, if you're kosher, our fast food, the good part about it is much healthier than your regular chain takeout, definitely, because most of the ingredients are fresh. It's very hard to find your bottled sauces and stuff like that aren't going to put the prices out of everybody's pocket. So that's an important thing. Another thing is to cook your meals at home. Cooking meals at home means that you are using fresh ingredients, that you know where they came from. One of the things I've been privileged recently in the last year is that my son planted a vegetable garden in my house. And the flavors that come out of the vegetables that we've cooked from there, even the sweet potatoes tasted better. I know that sounds a bit odd, but we have celery and we have rocket, which has that rich peppery flavor for the salad. We have different lettuce. We have cherry tomatoes and the zucchini. They were not baby marrows. These things were giants and they were delicious. They were much sweeter. And so even if you have a little balcony garden, you can grow certain vegetables on your balcony and have fresh vegetables. It doesn't need to be a huge garden. It can be just your balcony. Remember, when we're eating, eat mindfully. Now, when I say eat mindfully, there's an old saying that my grandmother used to say, "Ess mit Verstand." Eat with understanding. Now, she usually mentioned it, and my mother, when it was applied to stuff that was expensive. So if I'm having salmon steaks or tuna steaks, you know, eat it mindfully because of what it costs you. Well, why not do that to the simple ingredients? Eat them mindfully. Think about what you are eating and the goodness that it's bringing. Think about the family at the dinner table. And I haven't done it this last week, but for the most part, my family all eat together. We all eat at the table, even the ones who don't like the food. They can eat whatever they've got from the kitchen cupboard, and they'll sit with us and eat. And it's a time to find out what went on during the week. It's a time to get to know each other all over again. So try and make a rule. It doesn't always work. No cell phone or no media, just in general. These things are going to help you manage your stress. You're listening to Kosher Cravings. I'm Adrian Bugatti.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
So one of the things about healthy eating, especially if you've got a family who are not mad about vegetables. So last night I made spaghetti with cheese sauce and then I threw in a can of tinned peas. The comments were how delicious supper was, but they could have done without the peas. You got to add the vegetables somewhere. And that's where I stuck it. It's just something that we all need to learn to do, is to learn to make vegetables more appetizing for your eating pleasure. And that's why this Majuba looked so good, because it was all vegetable, but it still had that crispy, crunchy fried, which we all love. You could probably, even if you really want to do it healthy, do it in your air fryer. Most people these days do have air fryers, so it would work well and you would be able to use less oil. My suggestion, though, would be to brush the outside with oil so that it does help crisp up. I think that would be your thing. Now, when we eat mindfully, when we move our bodies, when we sleep well, these things are going to help manage our stress. And managing your stress reduces your getting sick. It improves your immunity because your body is at good conditioning. And with winter, it's important that we understand that immunity now during the cold is at its lowest. And germs, viruses specifically, so the one that they can't cure, the common cold, influenza, any of the RSV viruses can be not prevented, but the severity can be prevented by eating healthy, by exercising, by washing your hands, which I know has got nothing to do with food. It's just one of my things. And these are achievable. I know we get told exercise more, exercise more, exercise more. I am not an exercise person. So along with not drinking water and having very poor self-control around sweets and chocolates, exercise is not a thing. But what I'm learning is, and I found myself doing it about a couple of months ago, I texted my daughter in her bedroom instead of getting up and just walking those few hundred feet to her bedroom and like telling her what I wanted. And it made me realize how lazy we have all gotten. And moving, even if it is just walking around the outside of your house, is better than no movement at all. And with the technology that we're living in, the times we're living in, most of us are sitting sedentary, either at a job or, you know, if you're not working, maybe just sitting on your couch reading your book. Nothing wrong with reading a book. Love my book. But it is something that we all need to think about more carefully. And I remember watching a video of a woman, while she was waiting for the kettle to boil, she would twist her hips a bit. When she was picking up something from the ground or wanted something in a cupboard that was low down, she would kind of do squats. And I thought, well, what a clever way to get in a little bit of exercise while you're cooking. Why not? And then it reminded me that, for those who can remember, Reader's Digest. And Reader's Digest used to have these top 10 tips. And in those things, I can remember these kind of tips where they were standing, swinging their legs while the kettle was boiling and doing squats and jumping up and down while you're waiting for the toaster, all of those kind of things, just to give you some exercise, you know, that you wouldn't normally do. I want you to think about something. I want to leave you with a thought. Healthy eating shouldn't make your world smaller. It should make your world richer. More colors, more flavors, more confidence, more enjoyment, more energy. Food is one of the greatest pleasures. Let's celebrate it. Let's respect it. Let's nourish ourselves without fear. So thank you for so much for spending part of your day with me here on Kosher Cravings. I hope you enjoyed the beginning of your journey around the world. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please reach out and tell me, where would you like to food travel next? You can also connect with us with recipes and nutrition and future episodes that help you on your journey to good health. Until next time, healthy living isn't about abstinence. It's about abundance. Take care, eat well, and I'll see you next time on Kosher Cravings.